Simon Antrobus is the chief executive of RNIB, and each week he sits down with us to talk about some of the big stories of the moment. Simon, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Alan.
It's been a busy week in politics. The King, of course, laying out his government's plans for the coming months and years ahead. Always a watch for many charities, including RNIB, and some big points in there. There were some items missing, of course, but I thought we'd maybe look at some of the items RNIB was kind of pleased to see in there. There's a few what I would call big tickets in terms of education and travel and health this time around.
Absolutely, Alan. Look, this is a really important moment in the political calendar, and there's some important things for us to note in there, and they really are significant, and we need to make sure that we hold the government to account in making sure that they carry through on some of their commitments. So it was good to hear that they were talking about better accessible transport, and they were talking specifically in some respects around taxi services and the fact that on a number of occasions, blind people have been refused a taxi because of their guide dog, which is absolutely wrong. And in fact, only yesterday, somebody was talking to me about this very experience. So that it's good to hear that the government are going to take steps. But what we want is to see accessible transport across the whole transport network, because that enables blind and partially sighted people to live their life without limits. Talks a lot about special educational needs and the importance that blind and partially sighted children get the support they need, whether that's support on a day-to-day basis with their education, but also their rehab needs as well. So again, you know, that's really good that that's been identified in the King's speech. And finally, you know, some really important conversations that were raised yesterday around the work on the NHS. You know, it's important that we've got the eye care pathway continue to be focused on, but the NHS app is a really important part of how we all get our help and support through the health service, and making sure that it's accessible for blind and partially sighted people is absolutely critical. And the steps they're going to take to make that digital accessibility is a welcome again, but something we need to pay close attention to, because that is, if they get that wrong and they don't design it right, it can cause significant problems for blind and partially sighted people. So some things to feel good about, but of course, what we need to make sure is they follow through on their words.
It was interesting how much technology plays a part in those discussions. I mean, in travel and transport, obviously they talked about the creation of Great British Railways. There would be an overseeing body, which would be a first. So that, in RNIB's eyes, I know is something that is a good thing in terms of accessible travel. Disabled people were obviously mentioned in that as well. I suppose when you think about it, it's not just getting on a bus or off a bus as well, if you looked at it that way. It's, you know, getting accessible bus timetables. It's about getting to the bus stop, you know, and easily finding your bus stops, driver training to recognise the support that's needed. But hopefully this should give a bigger impetus to that as well.
We've done some work here at RNIB with our colleagues at the Motability Foundation on future journeys and designing a transport system that does not limit the ability for blind and partially sighted people to get out and about. And that's absolutely critical. So we welcome that within the King's speech. And you're right as well, the technology plays a massive part in that. And technology can be a double-edged sword, because these advances can have a huge impact positively on accessibility and inclusion in all walks of life for blind and partially sighted people. If they're not designed with blind and partially sighted people in mind, they can cause difficulties and problems. So we need to make sure that when we talk about these things in general life, that there is that real focus down on, well, what's the impact here for people with a visual impairment? Because it can have really kind of negative consequences if it's not thought through.
And you touched on the NHS app as well when we were talking about some of the announcements there, and accessibility being at the core of that. You know, it is people's health. And I think there's also hope that for many, many years now, RNIB has been campaigning around the accessible information standard that blind and partially sighted people will get any and all health information, whether it's a leaflet, whether it's a letter about a surgical appointment, that will all be in an accessible format. And it's still not happening, but perhaps a little bit more confidence now about the work being done on the NHS app, which can pull a lot of that information together in one place.
Digital information, health information, accessible health information in that respect is critical. but there is so much that we need to get right in a very fragmented system across the NHS. Getting it right means that blind and partially sighted people get access to information as and when they need it, at the right time, in the right format. If it's not done in a way that is accessible, people can miss their appointments. And that might not just be about their eye care and eye health, Alan, as you will know. It might be about other health needs that blind and partially sighted people have. If they don't get that information right in an accessible format, they can miss appointments. They can find that they've got the wrong information, or they've missed an important part of information that's been sent to them in the wrong format. So whilst it's absolutely welcome and good news, we need to make sure that we're thinking about, is this going to be done properly and appropriately for blind and partially sighted people?
We touched a little bit on education as well. I mean, I always say education, that's the building blocks for people's future. And if children with a range of sight conditions, blind otherwise, if they're not getting that support in the classroom, if they're not getting the same kind of education as their peers, you know, they're off to a difficult start already. So it's good to see commitment to more special education teachers, about more support workers in the class as well. And you mentioned a bit about habilitation or rehabilitation for kids as well. But, you know, long cane skills, independent living skills as well, it all comes into play.
Yeah, absolutely. Accessible education is, again, another critical feature that we would be, you know, really concerned about here at RNIB. And if you think about things like Bookshare, our view is that it's not a nice to have. This is a fundamental part of their education journey. The access to books and the Bookshare program cannot be seen as a kind of lottery, a postcode lottery. And whilst we're doing our very best to make sure that that's delivered to a standard that we feel comfortable with, there's more the government can do in that space, which then helps blind and partially sighted children have the best kind of education journey that they can have.
More to come, of course, on the King's Speech and that work as well, no doubt. Time for one more, I think, Simon. You've been at an event in London with the likes of Lord Lowe, Lord Blunkett, even RNIB's former chief exec, Matt Stringer.
We had the opportunity to join some real long-standing supporters, ex-colleagues of RNIB, to celebrate the contribution that Lord Colin Lowe has made to the sight loss sector, and in particular his role leading and championing sight loss in the House of Lords, but also in his role with RNIB. So we had the opportunity to celebrate that moment with him, and it was a really moving moment of recognition. Lord David Blunkett spoke very kind of warmly and passionately about Colin Lowe's contribution, as did Lord Kinnoll. And I had the opportunity, this is what's so wonderful about RNIB, Alan, there's a real sense of history and legacy to this organisation. I had the opportunity to meet with Ian Bruce, who's a prior Director General of RNIB, colleagues that had served RNIB for very long periods of time, 15, 16, even 20 years, that come to, you know, recognise and celebrate Lord Colin Lowe's contribution. And of course, our previous CEO, Matt Stringer, was there as well. We all have a really strong affection for Lord Lowe and his contribution. And it was a lovely opportunity for him to share with his family, friends and colleagues from RNIB on that contribution he's made. You know, we talked about all the things that have come out of the King's Speech. Now we can do some of those things to hold the government to account on those things. But when we've got such brilliant supporters like David Blunkett, they really help us. Marsha de Cordova was there, the MP for Battersea. She's a real advocate for RNIB. We need to keep those connections going. And of course, Lord Colin Lowe has done such a fantastic job over the 20 years he's been in the House of Lords of helping us with that. And now we're sort of handing over the baton to others and laying down the challenge to come with us on the journey of making sure we continue to have influence across government.
Sounds like a very worthwhile visit, an enjoyable one as well, Simon. Well, we are almost out of time, but if you would like to find out more about RNIB's work, do have a look at the website, rnib.org.uk. The helpline is there on 0303 123 or use your smart speaker to call RNIB's helpline. And that is it for this week. We'll catch up again, but thanks for chatting with us, Simon, on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks as ever, Alan.